You know, as we live life, we all have challenges. I don't care who you are, I don't care what your name is, I don't care how long you've been a Christian. Everybody has challenges. During the challenging times, is what you do will affect your outcome. Many people, they just throw up their hands and say, oh, what's the use? Many people will dig their heels in, grit their teeth and say, okay, I'm going to make it through. You see, it's up to you when you face challenge. It's up to you whether you make it to the other side or not. Hello, you there? You're going home already. God does not want us to live in fear, defeat, and discouragement. God has given us everything we need to go to the other side. Through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, we have victory. And we have the Holy Spirit to guide us. Now let's read a story in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 4. We'll start out with verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, now he had been there teaching on the shore. He said to them, let us cross over the other side. Now when they left the multitude, they took him along in a boat as he was, and other small boats along were also with them. Now, you know, many people talk about the disciples, and we're going to get to that story in a minute. But actually, I've read this all of my life, and I had never really paid attention that there were other little boats with them. Now, but he was astern, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, I want you to notice, it says a great windstorm arose and waves beat into the boat. Now, evidently, their boat was bigger because said other small boats were with them. Many times when we read this, we only think about the disciples that were felt like they were in danger. What about these other guys in these boats? Now, another thing that we, and I'll talk about it again in a minute, but hey, four people on board of that boat, they made their living in a boat. So it must have been one, as we say sometimes, whale of a storm. It must have been something else because they were on that lake all the time. You know, they were crossing the Sea of Galilee there. The storm caused the disciples to become fearful that they would perish. Now, you know, when I was associate pastor of my father-in-law, Southside Assembly there in Garland, he had built a 30-foot pontoon, or maybe 36-foot, I don't know, pontoon boat, had pontoons, and built a cabin on it for the church, for the youth to use, the church members and different groups to go, men's groups and so forth and so on. Well, a bunch of the men, we would go out and after Christmas every year and take a bite, and the people would bring their Christmas trees in, their real, back then there was more people using real Christmas trees than I think they are today. But they would bring them in and we would take them down and we would go out and and let the trees down and bait different areas of the lake. How many of you got fishermen know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And so we were all, a bunch of the men were on there. I mean, there must have been 15 to 20 of us on there. And so now we're coming back after taking these and putting tying cement blocks around them and dropping them down at certain different depths in the lake in different places. And a storm arose. And it was a pretty good sized storm. We were on Lake Tawakoni down there, and by Dallas. And we're coming back, and I mean, the waves are coming up over the front, and everybody's in this cabin. And there's, you know, like I said, about maybe it wasn't 15, maybe there's 10 to 12 of us there. Anyway, there was a group. And God, I'm what, 28 years old, I guess I was. And I said, now, wait a minute. There's a bunch of people in here. I'm going to go out there on that deck, because I said, if this thing goes down, I can get out. I can get out. They went, you know. So I'm out there on the deck, and that, you know, and I'm holding on because there's, and the next thing I know, I got water up to my knees, and the front of that boat is going underwater. And I hollered at him, cut the engines. You're driving this thing into the water. Into the ground. Now, that was they was from pretty big waves, and I got to thinking, they must have been, this was their regular, probably it was either Peter or John's, one of them's regular fishing boat, and it was probably a pretty good sized boat. They are now in trouble. Now, these four disciples, like I said, four of them on there, Peter and Andrew and James and John, they were commercial fishermen. They fished that lake all the time. That was their livelihood. So it must have been a violent storm if those experienced fishermen, sailors, were afraid. It had to be pretty bad. Now, but Jesus had given specific instructions. He had said to them, don't go out in the middle of the lake and go under. Don't go out there and be afraid of drowning. He said, before they ever started, he said, let's go to the other side. Let's go to the other side. And you know what? God's not looking for a few super spiritual people to accomplish his purpose. He's simply looking for ordinary people who will obey what he says. Lester Sumrall said this, God working through an ordinary person can overcome seemingly insurmountable obstacles and accomplish incredible feats. I believe we can learn some valuable lessons by looking at this story. He said, let us cross over or go over to the other side. Another translation says, we know that he was telling his disciples to literally go across the Sea of Galilee, and the storm they encountered actually happened. Now, God may not ask you to go across a real sea through a real storm, but let me tell you something. We go through many things that are what I call storms of life. The sea and the storm here in this scripture are simply symbols of things that we have to go through to get to the other side. Our storms, our situations. You know, what are some of the things that we have to go through to get to the other side? Difficulties, problems, issues of the past, challenges and hardships, physical battles, sickness, disease, addictions, habits. Now, most of us won't go through a literal storm on the sea, but we'll go through all kinds of storms on the sea of life as we live our life down here. You know, what are the storms? Well, storms of anger, storms of unforgiveness and hatred, storms of disappointment and bitterness, storms of despair and doubt, storms of criticism. No, none of us like to be criticized. I've never seen a person yet that liked to be criticized or accused of something that they didn't do. Have you? No. I mean, somebody said to me, not very long ago, I don't know how long ago, when I say not long ago, it could have been a long time ago, I don't know, I go so hard and so fast, I'll say something happened last year, and Lynette said, no, that was 3 years ago. But somebody said to me, said, how do you manage to survive with all the people that criticize you? Well, number one, I don't get on Facebook and say anything. That's one way you're going to keep people off your back. Some of you need to get off of the Facebook and just keep your mouth shut. I'm serious. Whatever you say is not going to change anything. It's just going to bring more and more people coming against you. Hello. I don't even know why I put that in there. That's just good common sense. Okay, that wasn't in my sermon. But it's the truth anyway. You know, one storm that all of us face is the storm of fear that comes on us. See, the disciples had to get past and through the storm in order to reach the other side. If we're going to reach our destiny and have the good life that God has promised us, we have to move through the obstacles and the situations to the other side. He didn't intend for his disciples to perish in the middle of the lake, and he don't intend for us to perish in the middle of our situation, circumstances, storms. Okay? He intends for us to go to the other side, come through the storms, and enjoy victory. Now, let's think about something for a minute. See, why does God want us to get to the other side? Get through all of our difficulties, get through our storms. Well, number one is that he knows the great opportunities that are on the other side of the storm for you. See, you can't see them, but he can. And he wants you to get through that so that these great opportunities that he has for you are, you can take advantage of. They could not take advantage of anything till they got to the other side. Now, one thing that when they got to the other side, if you'll keep reading, Jesus ministered to the madman of Gadara. If they hadn't have got to the other side, he would have never had an opportunity to be delivered. If you don't get to the other side, you may never have an opportunity to receive the blessing that God wants you to receive. Or you may miss out on the opportunity to minister to someone. Hello. Y'all still with me? Another thing, on the other side of the storm is abundant provision. How many of you have ever encountered a difficulty, but you just stood and believed God, and you came through the storm, and there was an abundant supply? Anybody with me? I got lots of hands. You know, On the other side of the storm is healing and health and holiness and wholeness. On the other side of the storm can be connections that can propel you to the next level, naturally and spiritually. Hello, come on now. Do you realize that all of us have been propelled forward many times by a connection that we've made? Many times we get through a situation because we made a connection and we can call that person. Hello. You know, banking's all different now, but when I was a kid growing up and Dad was traveling all over and we'd be out somewhere, he had a connection with Mr. Mike Mitchell at the First National Bank in Garland, Texas. And because of that connection, he could call and talk to Mike and say, "Mike, listen, I'm out here. I'm not going to be back for a couple, 3 weeks, but I want to trade cars," and he'd give me. And because of the connection that he had, he was able to have him go through the process. Hello. Do you know what? We had rockets over Ramah one time when there was a burn ban because somebody had a connection with somebody that gave us a special permit to have rockets over Ramah when nobody else could. That's a connection. Don't ever despise any connections that God puts in your pathway. There may be an opportunity, maybe that somewhere down the line, you will need that connection to get to the next level. Hello, anybody ever had a connection, and because you had made that connection with somebody, it turned out for your favor down the road? All of us have. Thank God for those. You know, also on the other side is ministry opportunities. Now, God expects us to use our faith to get to the other side. He expected those disciples to listen to what he said, say what he said, believe what he said, and act on what he said. The disciples were to get to the other side by faith. In the natural, of course, they were using a boat. But to get to the other side, they needed their faith. We find this necessary. You know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. But whenever the storm arose, fear came in, and fear and faith cannot work together. They can't live together. Just like oil and water don't mix together. They separate. You see, if you look at this verse, when fear comes, faith leaves. And there's a whole lot of other scripture in the word. I'm just going to go a few of them here. Psalms 57:1 in the New Living says, "Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy. I look for your protection. I will hide beneath the shadow of your wings until the violent storm passes." Psalms 107:29 NLT. "He calmed the storm and stilled the waves." Isaiah 25:4, New Living. "But to the poor, O Lord, you are refuge from the storm. To the needy in distress, you are shelter from the rain and the heat. For the oppressive acts of the ruthless people are like a storm beating against a wall." You see, when the acts come, people come against you, it's like you got a protection. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you face stormy seas, I will be there with you with endurance and calm. You will not be engulfed in the raging river. If it seems like you're walking through fire with flames licking at your limbs, keep going. You won't be burned. Now, all these scriptures I just read to you talked about being delivered from the storms, right? So when we read and meditate on these, it should help you build your faith to realize that you can make it through the storm. I like the way this says, man, when you're walking through the fire, keep on going, you won't get burned. 23rd Psalm says, he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemy. In other words, in the midst of the storm, we got a table. The Word of God. See, God wants us to trust and obey him, not just when the sea is calm. When your sea of life is calm, oh, that's great. But you just wait. It won't be calm long. The wind will come up and the waves will start beating. How many of you have ever been out on one of these lakes here in Oklahoma in a fishing boat, you know, or a boat? And it's really calm and nice, and you're just going on about what you're doing, and all of a sudden you begin to realize, hey, this boat's rocking. And you start looking around and the wind has come up and the waves are starting to go. You know what the first thing you should do, if you don't, you should, is immediately head to the other side. See, it takes faith to go obey God and go through the storm. It is not fun in a storm, but we all have storms of life. Anybody that hadn't been in a storm of life, I want you to stand up so we can applaud you. I didn't figure I'd have anybody. Because we all deal with situations. In fact, Jesus said, as long as it's in this world, you're going to have troubles and tribulations. John 16:33. Okay? But he said, take heart, I have delivered you out of them all. Hey, if we'll keep believing God, keep quoting the Word of God, we'll go through the storm. And we'll reach the other side. What happened is, when the storm arose, they forgot what Jesus said. Instead of focusing on what Jesus said, they focused on the storm. Instead of focusing on going to the other side, they focused on the storm. You see, they should have took a page out of Jesus' book. He said, let's go to the other side. Now, he had been teaching, and I'm sure he was tired because you ask anybody in here that's ministers, and I see several that are, after you get through ministering, if you have put everything, you're mentally, spiritually, physically, you are involved with everything you have. And you're tired. So he said, let's go to the other side. And he went back and went to sleep. Because he fully expected to get to the other side. So disciples should have took a page for him and said, okay, storm, you may be coming, but we're going to the other side because the master said so. And look, he's asleep, so there's no use for us to be afraid. We're going to the other side. Come on now. But we are all human just like him. He believed. In the middle of the storm, they become afraid, and this made them helpless to overcome the storm. When Jesus woke up, or they woke him up. He said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Wow. Why is it you are so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? That's a pretty indicting statement right there. Why are you so fearful? Well, look, Jesus, look at the storm. That's why we're fearful. He saw the storm, and he still asked him, "Why are you fearing?" Hey, don't look at me like that. Some of you are... He saw the storm, and he still asked him, "Why are you fearing?" And to calm him down, he just said to the storm, "Be still." That's what he'll do for us if we'll keep believing him. Craig was 2 years old. He came, or maybe 2 and a half. And he came out of the Sunday school class one day at church. I was associate pastor. And he had this boat and you know, and it was all marked all over with red and black and different color crayons, you know. And I said, "Craig, what did you learn in Sunday school today?" "The water was mean and Jesus made it good." God desires for us to listen to what he says and then go and act, believe it and act like it's so. Then you won't get the question of why are you so fearful. You know, what God has for us on the other side is victory. You cannot read about anybody in the Bible that faced a trial, a trouble, a situation that they, when they come out, they was in victory. There was victory. Am I right or wrong? You see, the storms of life is Satan doing what Jesus said he would do, trying to steal, kill, and destroy. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how long you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't care how many days, how many hours you speak in tongues. The devil will still come at you trying to destroy you, trying to kill you. That's why he brings those storms in your life. That is to get you away from believing God, get you fearful, and then he can destroy you and keep you from receiving. Like I said, it's on the other side of difficulties, hard places, and storms that you'll discover all of the great things that God has for you. You know, I have traveled this sea of life many years now. And, you know, the enemy has put many things in my path to try to get me off. First of all, I tried to go try out for a church and go pastor a church. This is way back years and years ago, back when I was about 29 years old, I guess, or something like that. And I realized that's what I didn't need to do. Then I came with this ministry. I'd been preaching. I'm an associate pastor with my father-in-law. I was doing all kind. I was doing everything. I was youth person. I was the Royal Ranger leader. I was I was preaching at least every Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, preaching at least one time a week, doing everything. I came with this ministry because the Lord, I knew the Lord was leading me to do it. So now the next thing I know, I'm traveling all over, me, Lynette, and Craig at that time, and then Denise later. And all I'm doing is setting up crusades. And Lynette, I tell you, I was getting disgusted. And so I was contemplating doing something else. And so the Lord intervened. And now I'm beginning to make some inroads and making a little bit of a name for myself, traveling and ministering and, you know, doing. And so now I decide, well, I'm going to go out on my own. I can do this. I did all of what I've been doing, setting up crusades, learned all of this, because now I'm starting to travel myself, get invitations. And so I said, okay, I'm going to form my own ministry called Living Faith Ministries. There's a triangle, Living Faith Ministries. My colors are green and white. I took my own money. I went out and I bought albums. I had got my tapes and I got them all put up in there. Now I'm ready. I'm ready to go out. And I'm praying, and the Lord says, are you going to follow me? Are you going to do your own thing? Well, you see, I was dissatisfied in what was going on. The enemy, you see, he throws different storms at you. He was throwing storms at me to get me out of doing what God wanted me to do. And I went in and I told Lynette, I said, okay, we just got to stay put. Right, hon? I had taken my own personal money and invested all of this. I took those boxes with those green albums. In fact, some of them may have still been around whenever Doug was working for the ministry. You've probably seen some of those. I took them all to the mail room and I said, here, guys. And I even took the master tapes, everything, to the recording mail room. That's why it's all together at that time. I said, here it is. I never asked for a penny from the ministry or anything else. Because you see, what I'm trying to use me is that you don't mean to talk about you, so I use me. Now you see, he was working against me to get me out of my ministry. Okay? He may be using something else to you to get you out of where he's got you. Do you realize God doesn't want all of us on a platform preaching? He puts you in different positions in every area of life so that you will be a light where you're at. Come on now. I say it all the time. God needs people in every area of life. We need some of you people that live here in Broken Arrow to get on the school board. Get on the student council. I mean, not the what do you call it? The city council. Yeah. God needs his people in right places. Let me tell you, if the church would stand up and start putting people in positions in the city and in the state and so forth, it could change things. Some of y'all pray about that. Hello. You know, there are places that God has called us to be, and the enemy will put a storm to keep you out of that place. The things God wants you to have, he will put a storm to keep you from having it. You see, if I had followed that area, there'd never been a Rhema. There'd never been a Rhema Bible Church. Hello? Because I went off over here. No telling where I'd have been. Because when you get out of the will of God, no telling what's going to happen to you. God has assignments for each of us. And they don't all intend, they don't all entail working on this, preaching from this platform. Many of our musicians and our singers here work in other capacities. Some of them teach music and do different other things. And they have more an opportunity to touch a lot of people's life on an individual basis that you or I never would. Come on. The people God wants you to reach and touch is on the other side of the storm. So don't let the storm keep you from staying where God's got you. Now I see more people are thinking, well, I don't want to stay here. Hey, I didn't want to stay either, but I did. And look what happened because I was willing. Come on. I don't know whether you got anything out of what I was trying to say to you or not today, but I wanted to encourage you in the fact that we all go through these storms. God has us in positions. He has us in places. And if we'll just believe him and quote the word, we can go to the other side and be ready when God brings the opportunity. All right. Hello? How many of you got something out of this morning? Heavenly Father, help us, everyone, to realize that we're going to face storms. We're going to face difficulties. But you will bring us through the storm. You've already said that if we would believe you, we could come through the storm. And we thank you today that we will maintain and go to the other side and be there in the victory that you have planned for us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.